So, good morning. We have the final hour together. Let's just have the 1 or 2 minutes of mindfulness, the meditation, the silence, and then I'll begin. So, in the closing talk with you this morning, I would like to make the theme the duality of retreat and daily life. The reason behind the theme, the title, is in this binary situation of retreat and daily life, it is one of the primary areas which people have concerns about, and I do appreciate the fact that it's not always easy to bridge from the formal meditations in the postures, the practices, and to really resonate them and integrate into the daily life. Just before speaking on that, just like to offer a few reminders over the days that we have had since last Friday morning when we started at 9 o'clock Continental Europe time. So much encouragement was offered with regard to making mindful use of each of the four postures. We gave some emphasis on the more formal aspect, that means sitting meditation, mindful walking slowly up and down, experiencing the walking, standing, reclining. There are numerous situations in the daily life, this is part of the integration and transition, whereby you stay in contact with your experience of these four primary postures, and as much as possible, make them mindful and meditative. You're walking from A to B, where you are coming from, where you are going to, is secondary, and it's the event itself. If you're going to a situation which requires your communication with another or others, could be friendship, professional capacity, family capacity, and you have a sense while walking that it's going to really need the fullness of attention, then being grounded in the walking, calm and clear, will be the best support for a wise and clear communication. It won't help thinking, feeling agitated beforehand. So mindfulness applies very specifically in our relationship to a situation that we are going to that's going to require extra care and attention. References have been made. We use the form for this, and these references were every experience in life, without exception, has a beginning, middle, and end. And the understanding of this, for our clarity and our peace of mind, in fact, is really important. So, experience may be challenging and difficult, physical, emotional, mental. It may be involving yourself or an other, people who are dear to you. The recognition that of the start of the experience is with you, and really remembering that it will pass. It will pass more easily if we understand the process. It will pass more easily if we are not dependent on the results, because they may not be in our hands anyway. It will pass easily if we remember that this is a transition, as well as the subtlety of this. So something may be worrying us during the day, it's occupying the attention, and then you get on with something else, and for a period you've forgotten about that. It might be a half an hour, a day, or whatever. To be clear, this experience, troublesome and difficult, it arose, it stayed for a while, and it passed. Right now, there isn't this experience of this. You name that, you are clear about that there. So you recognize the transitions, rising and passing, are taking place even when the experience isn't resolved. If something is very troubling in the daily life, we may not have the resources, the tools, the skill and the know-how to resolve it. So we have a sangha, an alliance of people. We have some fine people in society, and that may include certain friends. So we need the humility and the recognition that said, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. I don't feel I'm emerging out of it. The understanding just isn't coming. And if that's the case, rather than give oneself a hard time, seek out a person or persons. Contact another or others who can listen, who have some skill in wise counsel, who can offer fresh perspectives which we need to hear, who can ask the right questions. So it's not a teaching of self-reliance. It's not a teaching of depending on self-compassion. It's not a teaching which says this practice you have to do all by yourself. You have to work it out for yourself. This is not in this teaching. This teaching is one of teachings, practices, kindness, alliances, cooperation, recognizing the wisdom and the kindness of other people as a supportive factor. It's not a self preoccupied teaching. With the transitions to daily life, one of the images that and transferences which is easily carried over is making the formal cross-legged sitting posture on the daily basis as a necessity. It isn't. So the sitting posture is where we are sitting. It might include that, but it's not a priority. And a number of you will get up in the morning, you have things to do, possibly get work prepared for work and studies, perhaps you have children to look after or to take to school, the way schools keep closing down and so forth, there, and that's your priority. That can be done in a mindful, stress-free way. That can be done with immense care and kindness, consideration, and that's how we want to begin the day. For some, it might include a session of at home of yoga. It might include Tai Chi or meditation. Fine and lovely, but there is no need to say to oneself, I should. We have the whole day ahead. With the days that we've had together, we have had the mindfulness work period. This primarily, of course, being in reference to being at home. There is a real tendency that we all have to regard it as less important than everything else. We kind of have a hierarchy in our mind there. And other things, it has to fit in with other things. So what I mean by this is when we are engaged in the work period, so this morning I put my clothes in the washing machine, took them out of the washing machine, at the moment they're in a basket, when this is over I'll go and hang them on the line, pray to the gods it doesn't rain again, etc. But that whole process can be done happily, in a relaxed, easygoing way, without being speedy about it. Speediness, hurrying to get things done, is a guarantee of continuity of stress. It's stress doing it. After you finish, the stress is still there, hurrying, busy. The thought, I've got a lot to do, is, in my view, a sign of mental illness. So, the relaxed way of being in the small tasks will be a real support in this transition time to the other tasks that you and I have. And much of it, of this, is just remembering. Just remembering, if we can just remember a few of these points, really will be valuable. One of the areas to make reference to is the screen. Oh, the screen, right now. So, I hear voices regularly, and something for us to really address and take notice of the relationship to the screen. What I have in mind here is the mobile phone, the tablet, the computer screen, and the TV screen. And it takes the discipline, metaphorically here, the discipline of a Buddhist monk, hardcore Buddhist monk, to really take a good, honest look at the relationship to the screen. Quite a few people, as an example, would appreciate and enjoy to attend a Zoom retreat. And the persons know it would be of benefit. And there's some good courses, programs, retreats, etc. taking place in a diversity of traditions, and contemporary and long-standing. But the person understandably feels quite tired of facing the screen. Remember the four kinds of screen I referred to. Tablet, mobile phone, computer screen, TV screen. So it requires from us the quiet discipline. What that means is, each time you go to the screen, really make sure there's a good, sound, clear motivation to go to the screen. If not, you're an addict. There's no other word for it. It's an addiction. And this addiction to the screen reduces our immediacy of contact with the world around us, including other people. The world seems more challenging and difficult because we've become so alienated through the addiction to the screen that we find ourselves not being able to deal with what's going on around, of course. We're so much out of touch with it. So there are a few things to reflect on here. Some guidelines. I have some guidelines for myself. Maybe for you. One is, I've been using computers nearly 40 years to have some connection relationship. I remember the first laptop I got, which was in the 1980s. I couldn't believe that a laptop could be used and available, and I was amazed. It only weighed 6 kilos. And I was travelling around this world, some of you will remember this, if you're old enough, with this 6 kilo laptop, and I thought, it's just amazing, it only weighs 6 kilos, you know, etc. So here's some of my guidelines. In 40 years, I've never yet played a single game on a mobile phone, laptop, I don't have a tablet, TV screen, or whatever. That is out. That I find a waste of time. My grandkids like playing with their Xbox, etc., but bless their heart and soul, they do tend to grow out of it at some point in their teens. The second, I do not go flipping, that means moving up and down, looking at what Facebook people are writing on Facebook. I find it a complete waste of time. And I regard it easily as another expression of addiction, and addiction is often coming out of boredom. So the world around, with all of its colour and vibrancy, light and sound, is rejected, and one is walking around or whatever with the mobile phone there, looking down. I see this because I have a bicycle and I have to keep ringing my bell on the tracks and the pathways of people who've gone for a walk in the nature or gone out for a walk, and actually they're on their mobile phone. And then I give a ring, and the thought comes to my mind, it's a bit rude. Oh dear, there's another zombie in Totnes. Oh, it's tragic. Tragic. Life is so short, and it's trapped in the screen with all the unhealthy consequences. Worry, increase in lack of self-love and appreciation, envy of what others are doing, and much, much more. It is not healthy. So, therefore, my encouragement is, when you use the screen, whichever one you are using, or all of them, before you sit down, make sure you can give it a priority. Use your time well. They're great tools, they're great instruments. The example being now. And for the blogs, for the website, for putting out some information to people. But please make sure you can put hand on heart at the end of the day and say, well, yes, however, the day was real. I spent time outdoors. I went for a walk. I sat in the park there. I read a thoughtful book. I listened to a good book or whatever, so that you really have a sense you've got a clarity and a perspective on the screen. One should not underestimate the manipulation of all Facebook and these other gangsters to grab our attention, manipulating us to be more addicted to the screen, to buy our attention, to sell us products, to grab our attention. And it's, to me, it's really unfortunate there. And it's just saying yes to the benefit, quite clear, sharp, and no, because I want a life. I want to live free from addictions. And this is the primary one, this one I'm referring to. The other areas reference to. The Buddha, in a conversation with his son Rahula, and this kind of globally famous story of Gautama in a crisis, aged 29, fleeing duties, responsibilities, including as a husband, as a father of a small child, and then waking up after 6 years under the tree, and following on from that, going back to see his friends in Saranath, and then going back to the palace and meeting with Yashodhara, the wife, seeing his son Rahula, and from that time on woke up, and that waking up included the recognition of his responsibilities as a father. And the boy and the father became close friends and shared and lived and travelled together. It's all in the text. So prior to being the Buddha, prior to waking up, he fled. He was confused. He was on an existential crisis. In one of the conversations of Gautama the Buddha with his son Rahula, he made a strong statement. It's well worthwhile remembering. He said to him, all those who have come to wisdom have engaged in reflection. All those of the past, present, and into the future, that's a strong statement, have engaged in reflection. There will be areas in your life and my life where we need to engage in some rather quiet, rather serious reflection. And the reflection that we engage in can really contribute to some insight, inspiration, expanding of the heart, the first step towards meaningful action. So it is worthwhile to remember in your daily life, is there any area I need to reflect on? And it might just start, you know, with a simple question. Is there anything I need to change in my life? Is there anybody who needs my support? What can I do to develop as a human being? Am I willing to take some risks to really grow? Is there any areas of life which need greater commitment? What's my response to the pandemic? What's my response to the environmental issues or whatever? What's the sign of wisdom in my daily life? So these great questions of our species are genuinely worth reflecting on, and some will, as I do and others, and some of you are doing right now, I can see on the screen, take some notes. And we might write down just a few sentences, and out of those few sentences something valuable and important might stand out. It might be worth reading out loud what you write down, speaking out loud what your thought is telling you, just to give it a bit more oomph, a bit more authority there. And quite often, the indication of some insight from your reflection will show itself as a change of view, a reduction of suffering, possibly a fresh action. So the combination of mindfulness of a situation, reflecting on the situation, makes for a healthy stepping stone to reduce suffering, stress, pain, anguish, to have a fresh view of a situation, and to initiate steps. And that, those three areas that I mentioned, probably more, in a way are a sound confirmation that your reflection is effective. And you'll get to know the difference between the power of reflection and just thinking about. There are times when we are unable to make our mind up, all too human. The indication of that is excessive thinking, more movement in the upper levels, mostly thought, going back and forwards between various choices, and we keep, due to the tendencies, lean towards one choice and then another and then another, and we think it's about choice. Choice has got nothing to do with it. Who would choose to be completely indecisive? Who would choose to have a lot of confusion in the mind about what to do or what not to do? There's no choice in it. It's just the tendencies are moving around within for all the unsettled reasons, and then it's emerging in the consciousness in the upper levels of this, shall I do this, shall I do that, maybe I should do this, and going around and round. And that can last for years, not like for a day, it can go on for ages. So our meditations are a contribution to just going deeper, not trying to make up our mind, because we can't, because we're indecisive. Going deeper, listening deeper than all those choices, just quietly listening deeper, and perhaps out of the deep the response will come, and if it's got power, the voice and the action will follow on from it. So sometimes when we are looking for an answer in speculative thinking, in a way we are looking in the wrong place. And we might say, oh, we came to a decision, which is a bit on the egotistical side, I have to say, there. But really, it might just be that one tendency proved to be stronger than the other, and that was the one that decided you what to do or what not to do. Sometimes it's just which is the stronger tendency, and that's the one that chooses. And a small general principle, this is not everybody's cup of tea, you can't make up your mind what to do. If both are healthy, it's not a question of shall I show revenge on this person or not, it's nothing like that. Both are quite healthy. As a general principle, follow the one through which is going to be more challenging. So if one seems easier and the other seems harder, go for the tough one. Life is too short to keep looking for the easy things of life. So this is part of the freedom of being. And in this case, as you can hear, it includes the freedom to explore. The reading experience doesn't have to be intellectual. It can be quite meditative and mindful. A few words can change a life in a text. And again, to know the difference between that, like I mentioned yesterday, and the participants, common story, read quite a lot. In this case, Buddhism, Buddhist tradition, and all other associated areas. But we can, as I mentioned, breathe in too much. So the tradition has often discouraged reading. I personally think there's a middle ground here. So if you find yourself addicted to reading, trying to gain more information, reduce the reading time, be patient, read more slowly, give you a chance, an opportunity to absorb more deeply that which you read. My method for this is in the reading, I don't like underlying lines and sentences. It always seems to me a bit unfortunate. But I just put a pencil point, tap, in that sentence or in that paragraph, which I've appreciated, which I responded, touched. And then, some point later, maybe still while reading the book or after reading, I'll just go back to that and read it again, even read out the sentence aloud or whatever. So do explore your relationship to reading, and we're always interested in the reading which contributes to insight and wisdom. That's the primary, not for just getting more information, as it will overwhelm us. So silence, communication, reading, what else? Reflection, meditations, the love of the outdoors, being mindful of any indication of addiction to any kind of screen. So one's using the time with the screen wisely and skillfully, and not because of just habit or boredom. And all the happinesses which can be touched through our receptivity. If you explore all of that, you'll be fine. You won't need to do another retreat either. So, and the good network of associates, of friends, and that lovely word from yesterday at paper, alliance, really can genuinely be really helpful and valuable. And then just finally with you, as mentioned, first time of offering a Zoom retreat with 8 sessions a day. 4 times we meet, 4 times of you engaging in the practice. And if you have any reflections or thoughts, anything that might be helpful, so far in the listening, and particularly with the emails that have come in, keeping it open, meaning appreciating that not everybody could be there on the first day and do everything all the way through to this morning because of the variety of commitments. So I didn't want to make it kind of tight in that way. Let me know if that worked for you there. One of the changes I will make, just from the responses with the emails, I will start on a Friday evening next time rather than the Friday morning. Seemed to me, from my perspective, that the 5-day session, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to Tuesday morning, worked well there. But next time it would be Friday evening through to the Wednesday morning. And just any observations, do let me know. Sometimes some good points are made and I'll bring them in as well. Just on the finally outer situation there, the circumstances with the global pandemic, the very severe arisings of it in different parts of the world, India currently, of course, but also many other countries as well. So this uncertainty continues to take place, and it is really is important with this that we keep as much calm and clarity as possible and really take real care in mindful speech with regard to what we say about it. We don't have to avoid it or hide it or there, but just to be mindful in our communications. Are we feeding worry or anxiety for others? Others may tell us a painful story. Do we need to add another painful story that we have heard on top of that there? So just really giving real care to the communications that take place out of love and compassion and empathy, so that our voice, spoken and written, and that we are really bringing a lot of mindfulness to it. It really is a real feature of our practice. So, at this time, it would be lovely just to hear, just for a few minutes, one or two voices, 2 or 3, 4 voices. So, it might be that over the days together, one or two points or areas stand out for you which you'd like to remember or apply, or in the daily life, or you have appreciated. I won't give any lengthy comment on it, but sometimes it occurs in your meditations, in your experiences over the day, listening to the talks, guided meditations, the questions or responses that have taken place that you have heard. So let's just have a quiet minute together, and at the end of the quiet minute I'll invite you to anyone to may just say a few words about anything which has been, you feel, helpful and supportive and valuable for you over the days, and I'm sure others like myself would be interested to hear. But firstly, the quiet minute. Yes, anyone who would like to say a few words, maximum a minute.
I'll have to leave in a minute.
So all right.
Work. So I just butt in to thank you, Christopher, very much, and everybody else for being there. This has been very precious and valuable for me in many respects. I feel more grounded again. And thanks for your answers, and thanks everybody for being there. And see you again, yeah. Hopefully, perhaps in presence.
All right, lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you, kind. Yes, anyone, please.
Yeah, Christopher.
Yes.
Yeah. So what resonated for me is the freedom of being. So throughout the 3-4 days, I think we actually talked about it a lot, right? So I think that resonated, and that is something is staying in my mind, right, throughout. And that's something which I will need to follow and kind of look at how do I bring it in the way I express, the way I communicate, everything, right? How do I bring in that stillness and calmness and everything? So that was the essence,
right.
I feel, that I need to learn and then kind of take it forward.
Lovely, lovely, yes, yes. If we can keep those questions alive with us, it will contribute to bringing the best out of us. And not only for our welfare, but also for the welfare of others. That's the power of it.
Yeah.
It's in two directions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, anyone, please.
I'm not sure I'm going to put this exactly skillfully, but what I think I've seen is my addiction to my meditation morning and evening, and using it as a kind of way of avoiding being mindful in everyday life. That sounds a bit crazy, but that's, I suppose, just a reminder to live it rather than to sort of stick it in a few hours a day.
Yes.
So that's been really good. Thank you.
All right. Yes, you're good. The form is useful and valuable, but there's always a little vulnerability with it, that if we give it so much priority, there is some neglect. And teachings and practices, as we get the sense of, is really addressing the whole of the day. We've got this day, what's going to be our experience of the day? What can we explore with this day? What do we need to be mindful of in this day? What's our engagement with it? Really having the sense of the fullness of the day, whether alone or with others, whether indoors or outdoors.
Yeah, I think it was actually looking at it. It was, if I don't meditate morning and day, there's going to be something missing in my day.
Yeah, yeah. Good. All right. Thank you. Yes, anyone, please.
I also want to say, do you hear me? I have a strange. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, yep.
Thank you, because this is a new one. I also want to say thank you very much. I'm very happy to have this opportunity with the online retreat. I think it has been 2 or 3 years ago I saw you last time in Wild House and Opaunho. And I would not be able to come to Wild House this time. So I'm very grateful. I feel very much nourished in a way to have to listen to your talks, to meditate together. And I thank the whole group also for spending this time together and also the flexibility. I couldn't attend yesterday because of this building site in my house.
Yes.
But I could come back evening and this morning. It was a wonderful experience. Thank you very much.
It's a delight to listen to you, because when you first started, like a year ago, teaching with one of the other lovely teachers, co-teaching, and I wondered to myself, it's not the same as being on a retreat, etc. But the responses have been, from many people, mirroring delightfully your words, that it does work, and it is a support, and the practice can be done at home and going outdoors to the shops or to the park or whatever. And it's really, for me as a teacher, really nourishing and fulfilling to hear such words and say, it's effective there. And if the doors open up for the residential retreats in the center, all well and good. I have a sense that both will be working into the future. The Zoom retreats are really useful for people who may not be able to get away from home for all the reasons. I say, hey, I can do a Zoom retreat. So there's a good dynamic going on, and we're all in a kind of learning curve with it. Thank you very much. It's very lovely to hear. Yes, anyone, please.
I just want to say I'm sorry I couldn't come the first days. Now I kind of really regret it. There were 2 days I couldn't move things around.
Yes.
And I feel, it just gave me so much the last 2 days.
All right.
So I hope you do it again, and I hope whatever was taught is available on your blog.
Yes.
So I can...
Yes. Yep.
Get it from there.
Okay. So.
And I really, really appreciate it. I even get tears in my eyes. Right?
Lovely. Beautiful. Thank you. The links are on the blog, and they're available. And currently just in the process of setting up some. More Zoom retreats, and as I mentioned now a couple of times, this is the first one of doing it with this form. Lovely feedback from you this morning, from those of you who have spoken there, and I'll be setting up dates, and both with the blog and with the Christopher E. News, we'll be sending out information, then people can just, if they wish, sign in. So. And I'll keep it very open, meaning because some people may not be able to come on the first day or the third day or whatever, but I still want them to have access. So not having it closed in any way at all. All right, thank you. Yes, two more voices.
Yes.
Yes, please, yes.
Thank you very much, everyone. There's the necessity of trusting the principles, and instead of getting trapped of the glue of good and bad.
Yes.
So, and then the fear of losing into language headaches it is not important anymore.
Yes, good spirit. And exactly, we just need to catch ourselves when we find ourselves in the duality called Good and Bad. It's a feeding ground, a breeding ground for getting reactive, judgmental, and living in a binary world, good and bad. So we want to listen to something deeper than that and respond valuable and fresh ways to that. Those of you who know the Torah or the Bible, Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve something like, "Thou shalt not bite of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Don't bite on it. Remember, all the conflicts, the wars and the violences of the earth is the identification with so-called good and evil. All of them. So we have to find the alternative. Good. Well, thank you. One more voice today, please.
Yes, may I?
Yes, please, of course.
It was a very new experience and very interesting, and I had to drop three views of mine, which was very healthy. The first two were, I cannot go on a retreat now because I have to care for my mother, and that's my real practice. So I could go on a retreat, and only this showed me, because it was so intertwined with the caring after my mother, how this could be my practice. Mm. It was saying it was my practice, and now it's much more clear, and it is, and I know how it can work. And the third view was, meditation gets really deep only on the fourth day of a complete retreat. Meditating. anything you do until the third day of a retreat or at home is just for the sake of doing it. But it's not true. Yes. It was as intense as a retreat in Waldhaus, but the meditation got very deep.
Beautiful.
Be a fourth view that in Zoom retreats the people that participate don't become a real group.
Yes.
Could feel the real. I'm living it with my students. They help each other much less, or they can communicate much less.
Yes.
Since the pandemic, but here there was a real group, and it. One wonderful thing was when I was a little bit early for a meditation, and somebody made or this morning also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So many thanks to all of you.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, absolutely lovely to hear, and it's helpful for us, as you point out, to have the idea. And easy enough, identify with it and say, a really valuable retreat can take place at home. One can engage with others there. It can generate some really fresh views, good friendships and connections with the wave and the empathy and listening to each other. All of this can take place. So it's a good resource. Thank you, Evert, for the reminder as well. All right, let's just have a quiet minute together, then a little bit about the dana, the donations, and a short loving kindness meditation. So firstly, big thank you for your very kind words this morning. It's very nourishing and encouraging. And any further reflections, of course, drop me an email and I'll have a read through so can contribute to evolving and developing the program in terms of the retreat there. Take a couple of minutes of your good time. So prior to Friday, emailed you, a number of you were already in contact with the Ward House. The centre, like quite a few other centres, is struggling. With the close down, of course, there's a closing down of much of the income, a greater reliance on dana, on donations to give support. And the Ward House, which is about an hour from Bonn, to its great credit, really works really hard to make the retreats affordable. The small staff have a very modest income, and that was supplemented through the bowl that was put out to give them some extra support. And much of that, of course, has stopped. But, you know, they have a flat to pay for, some of a child, parents, and other commitments there. So I suggested that as many as possible, if I could just give 30 euros as support for the Ward House when they register, which I know a number of you have done, it really would be really, really helpful and appreciated. So what I'm going to do today is to send an email out to you. I'll include Manuela's email address at the Ward House, and if you'd still like to offer a 30 euro support for the Ward House, it would be really precious. And Paul, who's the founder, very good friend of mine since the late 1970s, in fact, very soon, I think this week, this month, it's his 75th birthday, so there's some kind of get-together in some way or other to give for all the kindnesses that he has offered. So, secondly, there a couple of minutes with the long tradition. So in the Buddhist tradition, one of the important key words is this word dana, D-A-N-A. And it means donation. It means the gift, the act of generosity, the sharing with the other. And there are many ways in our daily life that we offer dana. It could be through sharing of skills. It could be giving support to another. It could be through work, through listening, and many, many ways. And the tradition, and it's a very beautiful aspect of it, says that this act of the gift, the act of support, really reflects the value of something. So dharma is regarded as kind of beyond measurement. The view that some of us take is different from the conventional view. So in the world of conventions, which I'm fine, this is not a complaint in any way at all, here is a service and this is the charge for the service. And that this is a transaction, and it is agreement between the leader, the facilitator, the teacher, the counsellor, the therapist, or whatever, and that knowledge and expertise and skills, and the person, she or he, gives in return a payment for that hour-long session or for that workshop or for that course or retreat or whatever. And this is the classical way. And the tradition has encouraged to explore with the heart. And what that means is it requires some trust, which trust from the teacher, of course, there, and trust in the participants, and there is an invitation to give. This invitation, in fact, is being made right now. And with the invitation, what is received, in this case by myself as the only teacher on Zoom with you, is one that really gives support to the daily life. And the understanding in the receiving of this is that everything of the donation which comes in, we use it mindfully and carefully, very respectfully, because it's been offered as a gift in order to cover the daily costs, to give support to others in terms of the continuity of Dharma teachings and practices. That's the intention with the act of the gift, and this makes it possible, someone like myself, to continue in this way, as it's the only source of income. There and so far, until today, so good. So I've been living this way, if I may say, since 1970. First 6 years, of course, as a Buddhist monk, so I was receiving the dana of the food, clothing, medicine if I need it, shelter, and so forth. And the same principle takes place today, and it helps to cover, you know, the things which I need to buy, you know, computer and the printer and the software, and people I give some payment to for their good skills in the IT world, and much, much more, and support for my daughter and the four kids. So your kindness and support enables the continuity, and it's a lovely tradition. I absolutely love this tradition of the dana, because what it does and what warms my heart in being respectful to it is that if a person's got no money, they, especially with the Zoom retreat, they can come. And that could be a person who is in debt, a person who's, you know, single mum, single dad with kids there, an elderly person who's retired and has only just got a pension, or somebody who is unemployed, no money, etc. It's still available. And so those who can, the kindness which comes from people who can give, really in a very real way, in practical way, of giving support not only to the teacher, but for those whose financial circumstances are quite different. And somehow or other, the good alliance, the good sangha, the good network of us all, it keeps on flowing along like this. And it's really, really precious. When I'm teaching in India in the Thai monastery, we used to give we never had to pay to use the monastery. We would give a dana. And then a few years ago, the abbot said, "Christopher, you've been teaching here like 47 years, you know, whatever. Every year," and the abbot said, "a few years ago, you do not have to pay for, do not have to give any dana, donation. We wish to give, make the monastery a donation for you to use. So don't give us any dana. Our dana is you come for free." Oh, wow, lovely. And that really was very helpful and inspiring. So Radha that currently teaching, monastery gives support, and the monastery in Saranath gives us support, and again it's such a love of the principle, and we're staying true to it. So what I will do, I'll send to you a link. It's also quite easy to find. I have a website with my name, www.christophertitmus.net, and then on the home page, when you click it, on the right hand side you'll see donation, and with the donation there are two ways. So one way, if you have a PayPal account, you can just make a transfer from your PayPal into the PayPal account. And the second way is you can just use your bank card, and the bank card can transfer into the PayPal account there, and you will see the information. So you don't have to join PayPal or anything like that. Just use your there. I think you have to maybe put a tick that you don't want to join PayPal. The information, you'll see it. And so it can be by card or from your PayPal account, and it just lands there. Then within a few days, I will send to you a course of appreciation and gratitude for your kindness, but it will also include as an attachment short statement of receiving this, as sometimes some people making the donation like to keep a copy, or for some people it's useful to give to their accountant if you're self-employed, so the accountant understands that this was a donation which was given there. So you'll hear from me with regard to that within the next few days, and as I say, later today I'll send out the link of this, christophertitmus.net. All done. So let's have just 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, a short loving kindness meditation just to finish. Just sitting, being together. The network, the sangha of practitioners. Dedicated and committed to the exploration, the rich, full exploration of the human experience and our engagement with this world. We explore the freedom to look at the personal issues, the social issues, the global issues, we listen deeply inwardly. Recognizing the power of kindness, recognizing empathy, which brings us close to others, so that in our experience in the daily life, kindness and empathy are an aspect of dedication and commitment. And as we sit here, wherever we are, whatever part of the world, sensing with kindness, with metta, that means kindness, it means friendship, it means love, to those in each and every one of us who have been exploring together over these few days in this retreat. And the listening, the sharings, the silent meditations, and more, that our presence has supported the presence of others, and others have supported our presence. This matters deeply, of course, for each and every one of us. And so the identity of the nation state, or where we live, matters little, and the connectedness matters more in the depth of this web of life. May our mother and father live in peace and harmony. May our brothers and sisters and all our family members live in peace and harmony. May those we have contact with, the friendly, the strangers, and the unfriendly, live in peace and harmony. May we find skillful ways to take steps to give support to people, to creatures, and to the habitat of all of us. May we live conscious lives with love and with wisdom. May all beings live in peace. May all beings live in harmony. May all beings in all the realms, in all the universes, live in peace and harmony. Thank you, everyone.